Election 2024 on News Talk.
Kevin, I'm going to start off with you. Maybe you could just give us an overview of where things are at the moment.
For the people that actually went to bed, isn't it?
Yeah, Mandy? For the people who went to bed.
Well, I'll do my
sensible
best.
Sensible people.
Yeah. We're at the point, Mandy, there's 41 out of 43 constituencies are now reporting some level of results. So we're getting there. It's painfully slow. Cavan Monaghan called and actually announced that they were going to have an imminent result and then announced, no, actually go home to bed, lads. So I think in some places they're really struggling. But to give you some of the big names over the night, right, we knew this was going to happen, but overnight, Grainne Shoga gone. It's the dream is over for Grainne Shoga. On the flip side, you have names like Holly Cairns elected overnight. She wasn't at the count to hear her name being called out, obviously having given birth on election day, but she's back in. Niall Collins in Limerick, the Fianna Fáil minister, back in Limerick County. So there's no real changes in Limerick. An interesting one, my own home place of Offaly, where at one point it looked like Fianna Fáil were in grave danger of actually losing the Barry Cowan seat to Sinn Féin. But when it all washed out, Fianna Fáil have got Tony McCormick in there and Fine Gael have made a gain there in Jonathan Demmon, because that was the old Laois Offaly constituency and they just had Charlie Flanagan in that five-seater. So actually that's one up for Fine Gael there. Michael Fitzmaurice back in Roscommon, which now means Independent Ireland have their three sitting TDs back. So they'll be looking to make a couple of gains over the course of the day. So this is kind of meaningless at the stage that we're at. But if you want the overall figures, Mandy, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are both on 11 seats. Sinn Féin at 8. Independent Ireland 3. And then you have Social Democrats, PBP, Aintu all on 1. And around 5 independents at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, things are moving quite quickly. And we're undoubtedly going to get a lot of results in even as this programme continues. But before we kick off our analysis, I might just give you a flavour of what the Sunday newspapers were saying before they went to bed last night. So we have the Sunday Independent, Martin set to be Taoiseach, FFFG win, 5 more years in office, Sinn Féin share of the votes, they say, Falls, Greens facing another wipeout, and the Hutch vote rocks Dublin Central. On the front page of the Sunday Times, Martin and Harris set for power, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael ready to talk on coalition. The Sunday Business Post is saying that Harris and Martin look to power as SF are shut out. And the front page of the Daily, the Sunday Mail, a Mail on Sunday even, is FF and FG I Dáil majority. And maybe the favourite headline is from the Irish Sun on Sunday, it's Hutch and Go. Lots there to unpack. Bertie, can I start with you on all of this? You've been in this position 3 times. You know, the Sunday morning election newspapers. What are you thinking at this stage? Like, what is Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, what are they thinking? And what has the Irish people said in election 2024 for you?
Well, I think they said they want Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael back in government. And as we all said 4 weeks ago, the issue would be who do they go with? And that's still the question. Is it a one party, or is it two parties, or is it independence? And I think when everyone gets probably a few days rest, the leaders are all a bit tired. They'll have their great hurrah during the week. The new parliamentary parties will meet. I assume it'll be probably the following week, and we're drifting into Christmas. Irish Christmas starts after the 8th, and that's how it'll be. But I think they'll, in a week's time, they'll start thinking about just how they knock all this together. And hopefully they'll do that quicker and probably go into the new year, I'm sure. I think Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael will be happy. Fine Gael are historic terms. They've been there since 2011. Fianna Fáil were there in confidence and supply first for 4 years. Then they're in government for 4 years. And I hope, because I think a lot of the votes that went Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael were people that voted for stability. And they're watching what's going on internationally. They want their jobs and companies to continue to thrive internationally. There's a huge amount of people involved directly in the international economy in this country, from financial services industries to pharmaceuticals, chemicals. They're all linked to the international scene, and they want stability. So they want to see a safe government that are more or less following The policies that were there, maybe enhancing some of them based on what they picked up in the election. That'll be there till the summer, autumn of 2029. And I think that's what Simon Harris and Micheál Martin are going to have to contemplate. They have plenty of options. They've several options. They could go with the rural independence. They could take a group of independents, which would be too tricky in my view. You have to get a group that's coherent. And then they could go for independent Ireland. You could see if the Labour Party are really interested. But there's plenty of options, and it's just a matter of a week or two to decide that.
Francis, plenty of options available to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael when they eventually do sit down together. Have you been talking to Simon Harris since these results have come in?
Yes,
how is he feeling about things?
Well, I think we've had it looks like there's a clear pathway back to government for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That's what the Irish public have decided. For example, if you ended up with 80 seats plus between the two parties.
Sorry, Francis, to interrupt you there. You say 80 plus, are there any indications of how many Fine Gael might actually land on today?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's so many. We saw John Glendillan getting elected. Glendillan getting elected last night, very tight vote. We have a few more like that. So, you know, the actual final, you know, figures, I think, are still to be obviously decided. We have a long way to go yet, and it's going to be a lot of tricky and tight calls. So,
and a lot of those
final figures,
a lot of those final things are going to be between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
Yes, so I think they will, and some will go Fine Gael, some will go Fianna Fáil. But I think at Fine Gael, you're looking kind of late 30s, 40s, early 40s, and maybe, you know, Fianna Fáil is somewhere around that as well. Maybe a bit more, it looks like. But I mean, it's quite tight in terms of overall. I think that, you know, the whole question of parity is obviously on the table. And we also then have to see what other parties will do. But as Bertie says, there are varying options there, and we have to see what approach all of the other parties take, particularly those with more significant numbers. And then also there are a range of independents who would want to be and would be motivated to be part of government. So yeah. I think, can I just say from a Fine Gael point of view, given the predictions when Simon took over as Taoiseach, the mountain he had to climb, I mean, all of the talk about not having incumbents and 26 constituencies with no TD. I mean, we are now going to have a parliamentary party meeting this week where you will have many, many new Fine Gael TDs who were not in the Dáil previously. But that was an enormous task, and only somebody with the work ethic and energy and commitment that Simon has shown during this campaign would have succeeded in dealing with that as effectively as we have.
Yeah, no, extraordinary figures there, Gary, by any benchmark, coming into this election with so many new candidates. But I'm increasingly hearing a lot of Fine Gael people using a term, Bertie's like, we're back around the peace process table. Parity of esteem is creeping in an awful lot more, isn't it?
I just said parity.
Well, actually, Simon Harris said parity of esteem yesterday. Yes, yeah. So, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Mandy, I think the story of the election is not just that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will almost certainly be back in power, but it's the extent of the vote. And to say the extent of the seats, particularly, whatever about the first percentage vote. I mean, I think there was massive relief in Fine Gael when the exit poll came out Friday night, that the slide, which was precipitous and, you know, all but life threatening, had been stemmed, and they had 21%. Now we know the exit poll underestimated Fianna Fáil by quite a lot, and I think there'll be some hard words exchanged amongst Ipsos and the Irish Times and others when they have a look at that poll, but that's for them. But it was massive relief. I mean, you give Fianna Fáil something like 47 and Fine Gael maybe 40 or so. So you're all, I mean, in one way, I can't believe it that I'm saying that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are close to having the majority without any other party. But that seems to be the way it's playing out. Now, Bertie is right in one way in relation to there are lots of options, but those options could quickly diminish. So Labour might simply say, you know, we've had a good election. We're only back to where we were in 2016 when we were calamitously kicked out by the electorate after the 11-16 government. And I mean, the first thing Labour will do when they go into power, the first thing they'll have to take is the brickbats from the hard left and from Sinn Féin and others that you've sold out yet again.
Mm.
Now, Fianna Batjic, Alan Kelly and many others in the party are strong enough to withstand that. The Social Democrats might say something similar. We're incrementally building. They've had a very good election, and congratulations to Holly Kearns, both on the birth of her daughter and the success. I mean, there was talk that her own seat was at risk. Now, I never thought that was the case, but they've done remarkably well at getting really significant votes in places where you'd never have thought they would be competitive. I think they're going to get about 8 seats. So they might decide, opposition will do us fine and leave Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael stay in government. And what's happening is the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael vote percentage-wise is steadily decreasing.
But the number of seats is increasing
because
growing.
Of, you know, with seat bonuses and the electoral system we have. So those numbers might narrow quickly. Now, there is the third option, which is Sean Kenny, Boxamore and Michael, well, not, maybe not Independent Ireland. Michael Lowry last night all but begged to be in government when he was re-elected. And again, congratulations to him. He's like, he's one of the great survivors. He was in cabinet way back, Francis. You remember, of course, in the 94-97 government with you. So he's been around a very long time. And that option is there. And do you really want to be doing deals as distinct from having them in a government like the 2016 to 20 government? So I think a lot to play out yet, Mandy.
Absolutely. And Gary, I heard you talking yesterday about the three-legged stool. You know, maybe Kevin will be going from a three-legged stool to a chair where we have like the two main parties, somebody like the Soc Dems and Labour, plus those independents who kind of know the score and know how to support a government.
Yeah, well, so we talk about in basic numbers that you need to get from 87, 88 seats. But in truth, they need to get well into the 90s to have a stable government, because as we saw, even just in the government gone, there's always slips and falls along the way, and a by-election or a European election where you lose two or three people. So the 88 isn't really the target. You have
eight
to get
plus six, plus
yeah,
six.
At least. Yeah. So that's what they'll be going for. And that's what will decide whether they need the Labour Party or the Social Democrats, or whether they can live with just some independence. And I think they'd probably like to do deals around roads and bridges rather than ministries this time round, given that there's so much to divide up between the two. But if you look at it, and talking to people last night, Labour are definitely the preferred option. As one senior person in Fine Gael said it to me, could you imagine dealing with Holly Kearns every time there's a crisis? It would be a nightmare.
Mm.
There was a feeling, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but that they're whiter than white in the Soc Dems. And so when the health minister is in trouble over the trolley crisis, could she withstand having to go in front of the microphones and defend a Fianna Fáil health minister over some particular crisis of the week?
Mm.
And they're worried that they wouldn't. Obviously, they think Labour, as Gary mentioned, the likes of Fianna Batjic and Alan Kelly have been around the block a few times. But both of them must be looking at the Greens and going, really? And there is this competition between Labour and the Soc Dems to see who gets to be the real kind of moderate left wing of Irish politics. And whoever stays in opposition has a better chance of that.
Bertie, that's a really important point that Gary and Kevin are making there. Like, we're looking on at the Green Party now and seeing, you know, their potential obliteration again. We see a smaller party getting eaten up post-government. And maybe, as Gary's suggesting, it'll put off the Soc Dems or Labour from entering government because they don't want that to happen to them, and they might want to sit it out. But if you're a leader and you're sitting there trying to put a coalition together, what are you looking at from a party? As Kevin said there, like some mutterings about Soc Dems not having that muscle memory of being in government. What are you looking for that stability in a party?
Well, if I go back to 97, we could have looked to a political party said maybe that would be safer. We did that subsequently with the Greens in 2007. But in 97, I looked at the list and I saw that there was at least a half a dozen people who were from the Fianna Fáil gene pool. Gilday may not have been quite, but he was up in Patacope country, and you know he was going to be influenced. So we picked a group of independents. I have to say, a group of independents, some people might say, it can be a bit difficult. They were far more loyal. They didn't leave Leinster House like a lot of my own gang until they checked with me.
Jackie Healy Ray never let me down. I think he's 100% voting, where I'd have to be checking the law library for some of my own. So a group of independents is quite stable. So I wouldn't worry about that. And, you know, looking out, Ivana has to do what Ivana said she'd do now. She has to talk to the others. That should be a good meeting to be at between the Sock Dems and the Labour Party. They should have amalgamated about 3 years ago. But anyway, that's another day's work. People before profit wouldn't want to be in any government ever. And, you know, so you look around. But then Michael Lowry last night declared that his four or five are definitely up for September 2029, hope and alive. You have Independent Ireland have declared throughout that they're prepared to be there until September 2039. So I don't think there's really a problem. But Labour have to decide, do Labour want to stay separate? And you could say Labour stay out, but the Sock Dems, look what they did in the local elections. Sock Dems are building. And I think they're, you know, they're not going to go away. I don't see them in government. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, for whatever reason, I don't necessarily share the views, but Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael aren't really interested in the Sock Dems.
Well, let's hold that thought, and maybe we'll look into that a bit more after the break. But before we take our break, we can say you can get in touch with us on WhatsApp at 087 1400 106 or text us at 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. My panel of Bertie Ahern, Francis Fitzgerald, Gary Murphy and Kevin Doyle are staying with me, and we've got lots more analysis after the break. With me in studio are Air Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, Francis Fitzgerald, Gary Murphy and Kevin Doyle. Now we have a question in from a listener. Can I ask the panel how clear a route is for government for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? It seems that Mary Lou MacDonald still thinks that Sinn Féin has a chance at forming a government. That's from Louise. Gary, what say you?
Well, I admire Mary Lou MacDonald very much. We were PhD students together, believe it or not, Mandy, in DCU in the, it's so long ago, in the early 90s, and she obviously went on to greater things. There's no chance, none whatsoever, of a Sinn Féin led left government. It's impossible. Even if you could do it without Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, it would be so disparate as to be impossible to construct. And even if it was constructed, I think it would fall apart within a minute. It would need people before profit, for instance. And last night, their intellectual guru, Kieran Allen, told RTÉ that people before profit was different from other parties and it was anti-capitalist. Now, how that would play with Mary Lou MacDonald and the foreign direct investment let's say that's just incompatible. So the only path to government for Sinn Féin would be in a coalition with Fianna Fáil. Micheál Martin has ruled that out categorically, and on the day he has had yesterday and going into today, that is certainly that won't happen. So there is really no path. And Sinn Féin, okay, they might get 40 seats. Now, remember, on the seats, there's 14 extra seats. So they're going to go up from 37, which they got in 2020, to 40, let's say, a gain of three. And they're spinning that quite substantially. But I remember just talking to Kevin, who tells me that they're probably on 19% or even less of the first preference vote. That is 5.5 points below where they were at the historic election of 2020. And you cannot spin that as a mandate for change. I was slightly bullish on their chances of doing better because I did think there was a momentum behind her early, just at the beginning of the campaign. And I think she's had a good campaign because she's good on the ground. She's good with people, as we know. And that change of government mantra, I thought might pierce the sort of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael wall, let's say, of 40-odd percent, but it didn't happen. And I just don't see any path to government for Sinn Féin.
Francis, you want to come in there. Look, there's no big swing to Sinn Féin against the government, okay? But they have had some successes in the election. Do you think their vote management or transfer packs have worked a bit better for them?
Yes, I think their vote management is very good, and that corporate brand sense is very strong, no doubt. Bertie and I were just saying it may be to some degree lessening in other parties. What I find intriguing about Sinn Féin and the parties of the left is they say they want to be in government. They quote the sort of change mantra. But actually, they do very, very little between them all to make sure that they have a pathway to government. you know, the lack of communication between them, the lack of a united front in any way. I mean, Mary Lou talking about change, she mentioned change with Fianna Fáil, actually, with her going in with Fianna Fáil. That's effectively the proposition that was out there. And what I found canvassing is that people were saying, it was very interesting from the electorate, they kind of wanted change, but they didn't want too much.
Mm.
Now, I think the Greens have become the sort of Fall Guys in relation to that. But there was that strong sense. So I think you were asking earlier about, you know, why Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. I mean, it was, and what you'd be looking for in a partner. You'd be looking for courage. You'd be looking for a commitment to stay the course, to be able to deal with the hard calls, the tough decisions that you have to take in government. I mean, we had experienced 2016 to 2020 wasn't without its challenges, I can say. But, you know, you need people who want to stay the course, who understand government and the tough at times that lie ahead. If you look internationally, and I mean, none of this featured in the election campaign, which I also found fascinating. It was more micro incidents and issues. You look at what any incoming Taoiseach is dealing with at the moment, internationally, the geopolitical risks, the conflict, you know, digital climate, the such, and who's going to lead in climate, and climate is going to be a very interesting
question. We'll get to that in a minute, because when we're talking about the next programme for government, it would be interesting to see, without the Greens, if any or all of those commitments actually sustain. Bertie, just before we leave the Sinn Féin issue, so as Gary's mentioned there, like, there's no coalition of the left building, and there's no attempt by them to kind of coordinate that in advance of this election, for sure. I'm not sure if a coalition of that type is possible, but even if it were possible, would the Irish people vote for it? I mean, we're pro-business, we're a small open economy. You know, is that something that's, you know, a longer term project? Because without Fianna Fáil and with Fianna Fáil ruling out Sinn Féin, they have nowhere to go.
No, but I think that we're here commenting on this election, so I don't like jumping into the future. But if we keep going the way we're going, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are together. By the next election, they'll be a decade and a half together. The left will learn from this election that it's a bit ridiculous talking about what they'll do after the election. I think they will learn that they'll have to, before the next general election, 2029, which I assume it'll be, they'll have to put forward what their case is. You know, I think they will do that, whatever it is. But so you probably will be heading into what they like to call a right and a left. Now, I've spent my lifetime in Fianna Fáil and been the only socialist around Fianna Fáil for many years. I resent people calling it a right-wing party.
Well, you're in too now, aren't you? According to Kevin's app.
I know I'm left-wing Fianna Fáil candidate all my life. So I don't like that right and left. But I think people in the future will shape this right and left, whatever it means. And that will be the order of the future. But we're here talking about the present. And for the remainder of this decade, it's Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, with like-minded candidates, elected candidates now, and there's plenty of them. I think we should say, I think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who both in their own ways have had, Francis has made a fair point in what Simon Harris has had to do. He had to, you know, unprecedented numbers of his TDs retiring, some age-wise, some not. And he had to rebuild that in a seven-month period, pick up the party from where it was earlier on in the year, and turn in a formidable campaign. So, you know, and his campaign was a difficult one. Mary Lou went into the election in a difficult position. Micheál Martin has had a stable run really throughout the year. So, you know, things change, but this right-left thing, you know, I don't like it even, and I'm not sure if it had been right-left this time, if it had been a real right-left, I think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil would have got higher numbers, because people who are working in multinationals, there are people, ideological people, who vote for Labour and vote for Sock Dems, who, if they really thought about a left-wing agenda, will quickly change it, because they realise that they're working for multinationals, or they're working in industries that would probably lose them their jobs if they voted for them. So I don't go with this lefty stuff.
Okay, we've lots of questions coming in from listeners, which I'm going to put to you all in a few moments. But just a reminder that you can get in touch with us on 087 1400 106 or text 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Kevin, you want to come in there?
Well, I was just going to say, can we call a spade, Mandy?
Go on.
There's an awful lot of spinning going on, and all the parties are trying to make out that it was a great day for them, right? So Bertie's articulated the Sinn Féin or the Fine Gael narrative there, even though at the start Fine Gael were telling us that having all these new candidates was actually a new energy and it was a great buzz. So, but that's fine. That's what they have to do. Fianna Fáil, steady. The Sinn Féin narrative, I just don't get it, because Mary Lou MacDonald said yesterday that this was a historic game-changing mandate and that it was a drive for change and that she was going to go away and try form a government. Now, I'm not a data wonk or a numbers wonk, but can I just make the really simple point that listeners understand how ridiculous that is, right? Sinn Féin are going to end up on 40. That's where they themselves believe they're going to tap out.
Yeah.
We've just talked about how difficult it will be for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to do a deal with Labour or the Soc Dems, right? So they're going to end up about 9-ish each, which brings you up to 58. Bertie has already said people for profit don't want to be in a government anyway. But they'll end up with about 5. So we're up to 63. Now, we said we need 90 plus to make a government. There is no chance. Yeah, this is not a game changer.
No, but just to be devil's advocate on it, right, and take out the realpolitik of it, that Fianna Fáil just don't want to go into a coalition with, if you're just looking at the numbers, right, and Sinn Féin are coming back with 40, and say Fine Gael come back with
40-ish as well.
37, 38. And 40. Just say they have more than Fine Gael. I mean, they have to do this. They have to say this. They have to present as a possibility.
But they already have more than Fine Gael, I would make. But the point is, right, if this is where I think it's going to end up. And there's two constituencies that still have to vote. But if we look at 2020 and we look at 2024, and you're trying to say it's a game-changing election, right?
Well, I'm not trying to say that. Who's trying to say that?
In pure numbers, right? Sinn Féin got 24.5% and they didn't expect it, right? There's a little bit of Goldilocks and the Three Bears about this. Last time, in 2020, they ran too few candidates. The local elections, they ran way too many candidates. And this time, they actually got it just right, in fairness, which is why they're getting so many seats. But in percentages, they're going to be down around to about 18.7%, which is massive drop. Compare with Fianna Fáil, who were on 22.2, are going to probably be on about 21.2, 21.3. So they're down 1%. And Fine Gael are actually going to probably be right on the button of 20.9 that they got last time. So Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, relatively static. Sinn Féin, almost a 6% collapse. That's not a game changer.
Do you know what I would say, actually? If there's one common word that links them all together, in reality, it's probably that they're all relieved. Micheál's relieved that that exit poll wasn't right. Simon Harris is relieved that the campaign, as bad as it was, and accepting all the mountains he had to climb in advance of it, did not actually affect him. The campaign did not matter. And Sinn Féin are probably relieved that they've made a kind of comeback.
Well, it's extraordinary that Sinn Féin thinks that they have a pathway to
government. But it's better than their local election results.
But with 18%, I mean, you look right across Europe, because you get 18% or 20 or even 25, unless you can make up a majority, you don't end up in government. I mean, that's the reality. And no work was done before the election, or no proposition was given from the left to the public.
It will be the last election without some sort of
proposition
on the left.
I agree with that. Gary, did you want to come back in on that?
Well, just on Sinn Féin, I mean, it's a decent election in the context of their terrible local and European elections. And even the period after the local and Europeans was difficult for the party internally with the various scandals that arose. Now, I'm not convinced most people take too much notice of scandals, really. They kind of see them as maybe just a sort of internal politicking. It's going to a point I've made a long time, and maybe I might be right for once in relation to something like turnout. I mean, most people aren't terribly interested in politics. I mean, we're all interested here. Our livelihoods are sort of dependent on it in many ways. And we talk about it every day, but most people talk about football, relationships, whatever. And they do get a bit energised at general election. That's why the general election results are turnout's much higher than at European and local elections. But unfortunately, turnout's going the wrong way. We had 70% in 2011, that big change election. I think we'll be lucky to break 60% now, notwithstanding the big surge in registrations, which then didn't manifest itself at the ballot box. So I think there are... It's not questions for sort of the political elite, but that we all should consider is why are only 6 out of 10 people voting?
Bertie, that's I know that there's a lot of permutations around why people vote, the day it's held on, the weather and all that. But as a more fundamental issue, do we need to have a conversation about that?
Yeah, I think the weather can make a bit of a difference. But to be honest, I think the day, you know, is a bit of a nonsense. It rained in the East Coast the other day for just under 2 hours. There was 15 hours to vote. And if you had brought your umbrella, it wasn't that heavy. So, you know, I think that's not really... The reality is that this election was fairly boring, and that people, it was nothing really ignited it. You know, we went through 4 days about Michael O'Leary saying something at a do about teachers. And then we had the issue in Cork where I think Simon was very unfortunate. You meet thousands of people in a campaign, and just because when you're tired and maybe a bit hungry, maybe you should stop, that you don't react. And then all of a sudden the world was going to change. I mean, I just think that's a bit of a nonsense. I don't know how many people the Taoiseach met during the campaign, but I'd say it's 0.00000.
Mm. So
there was no huge
excitement.
I think that's why people didn't bother.
Every journalist you met kept saying, this is such a boring election. Now, you go back over other elections. I don't know how exciting they actually were.
Our elections were very exciting.
Well,
Bertie, okay,
you could, I mean, they were all very exciting.
When you're in the thick of the action.
Especially when he won. But, I mean, just to say, why aren't people voting? I mean, let's face it, democracy right across the world is in decline. It's in decline across Europe. And the disillusionment with politics is something, and the systems of how we govern is something we're going to have to take very seriously. Because it is declining, there's more election results being contested, and so on. So, you know, these are really big issues for us to think and try and work out what to do about them.
One answer to that, Francis, that I think, I know I'm very old and I was in politics a long time ago, but...
It's about fifth time this morning you've said you feel very old, Bertie.
But ministers used to have power. Yeah. Now every time a minister speaks, he says he's going to talk to the regulator. And that the regulator should look into this, and the regulator should look into that, and the transport authority should do the other. There was a time when ministers made all the decisions, and I just think there's far too much power being given. And if you're given, none of these people were on the ballot paper in any of the 43 constituencies. And I think if politicians keep, and predicting ministers keep giving away the powers. People say, what's the point?
But if populists like get the vote that they get, I think the more fundamental issue is dealing with the problems that people have. And we saw that in relation to housing. Mm. Governments have to be more and more responsive, obviously, to the problems that people have. And there was a real sense in this election that not enough, whatever, you know, we, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, we can go out and say X, Y and Z is done. But there was a real sense, you know, I think the cost of living was dealt with more effectively.
A real sense
that, you know, much more needed to be done because this was the issue for so many people.
Yeah.
And so many mums and dads came to the door and said, I'm worried about, you know, my son or daughter will never get back from abroad.
It extends way beyond the individual.
It becomes a defensive campaign and it did become a defensive campaign for Fine Gael in the last week where all the extravagant promises were set aside and Pascal Prudence was brought out to say Sinn Féin are dangerous, stick with us,
and we're the responsible
I'm the prudent Minister for Finance, and there are stories that he wasn't very happy with the budget because he wanted it to be more cautious affair. And just on briefly on Bertie's point about regulators, it's not just regulators, it's the permanent civil service. I mean, every single leader said their spending plans were costed by the Department of Finance, as if the Department of Finance was some sort of a Nirvana producing a machine. This was the same Department of Finance that told us in 2008 there would be a soft landing.
Yeah, so maybe politicians have undermined their own importance.
Kevin made a very good point there when he interjected our friend. There was very little vision. The vision for Fine Gael in the last week was stay with us because it would be worse. Now what sort of assertive or offensive campaigning is that?
With me here in studio are Bertie O'Hearn, Francis Fitzgerald, Gary Murphy and Kevin Doyle. I'm going to go through some of the listeners' questions. Thank you very much for getting in touch. We can't go through all of them, but just a few comments and then a question. What's the difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael these days now? Anyway, that's from Anthony and Carlo. there are a few things I find very curious when it comes to the Sinn Féin vote. Why is it compared to their highs of the past? Yet nobody compares Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael drop from their previous highs. Another question in is the people. Sorry, no, this is a comment. The people have spoken on green issues. It's time to get on with dealing with the real issues. That's from Eamon in Kilkenny. We might look at the consequence of what happened, the green vote, and what the next government might do with that information a little bit later with the panel. And what's the point of voting if we already know what the outcome will be? There's obviously no alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and lots in along that vein. But here's a technical question we have in from Joe in Galway. When a candidate surpasses the quota, how do they decide which ballot papers are surplus and which will be redistributed? Joe strikes me as somebody who probably stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching all this on telly. Gary, what's the answer to Joe's very interesting and valid question?
It is a very good question, and it's something we try to explain to our students and usually muck up. So there's once the quota is determined, Mandy. So let's say to reach the quota is 10,000 votes. If you get 11,000 votes, you have a surplus of 1,000, and then it's 1,000 are transferred. It's done randomly, but in proportion. So what they do is they look at all the number twos, and let's say candidate A has a fifth of the number twos, they will transfer a fifth of the surplus of the 1,000, and that's why it takes much longer than we might think it would take in relation to transfers. And then the vote then carries on. So your number two, let's say candidate has a 9,000 votes. 9,000, then he gets 9,000 for he or she gets 9,500. It's the transfer that continues on in the thing. So it's complicated. I mean, there used to be a lot of talk about changing the voting system. It's not that complicated, actually, for people like us when we go in to vote, as we know from the people on Friday. You just mark down the ballot until you really don't care anymore, is always my advice. If you really don't care about any candidates, you shouldn't give them any.
I brought my 4-year-old to vote with me, and she was helping me fill out the numbers until we got in a row at number 5 and started to cause a scene. And I decided to fold it up and go, that's enough.
So finally, random but proportionally is the answer.
Bertie, transfers arguably have never been more important than they are in this election campaign. But things can change a lot on this day in an election campaign, can't they?
Yeah, there's a number of studies have been done by Gary and his eminent people over the years in different research projects that show that the people who are in winning positions normally win out even after all the transfers. But in 2020, there was 10 seats lost by Fianna Fáil on the Sunday from winning positions.
10
so
seats.
When I say winning positions, the candidate was in a 4-seater, they were in the top 4. But they were surpassed by people who were down 5, 6, 7 and 8. And, you know, there were 10 seats. So that was a big... And that was why Micheál Martin was correctly... very cautious yesterday in his interview, because that's
strange.
And you know what I don't like about PR is I probably came from the school that you were taught to vote the ticket and you stopped. Now that extended maybe a bit over time, though watching some of the ballots yesterday, people still seem to do that. They might extend it to 4 or 5, but there is the danger. I don't think anybody goes in with a list than saying, well, this is the first 15 I want to vote for. So when you get, like Kevin, after the first 5, you start filling in boxes. You say, what was the last one I had? And then you say 6, 7, 8. But unfortunately,
if you're a 4-year-old, Bertie, you start looking at the picture and deciding whose face you like.
Well, you know, even though some people didn't like me, at times used to say, you know, when there was 15 on the ballot paper, we put you number 15, we work back. But... you know, the people do all kind of things. So it is, but today there will be seats won on 7, 8, 9s and 10s. There will be seats won. And I would not sit here and say who'll win those seats. So remember, when you're ticking all these boxes in any election, it normally doesn't. But it didn't 2020 come back to bite.
But you see, you also have ballot papers now that, same in the European elections, that were incredibly long.
Yeah, like I think there's 24 candidates
and
loud or something.
Now you can be sure. I hardly knew some of them and I'm intensely interested.
Yes.
So I think a lot of people will go, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe, and won't go further. But by not going further, you're actually losing your impact on those later seats to be declared.
But Mandy, there's a lot of talk about transfers, but the most important thing still is first preferences. And you need
first
about
count.
That. Unless, to go back to Bertie's example, unless you're Cyprian Brady, you need a half a quota, give or take, to get a seat. And if you haven't got a half a quota, you're very unlikely to get a seat. And on transfers, we talked about the surplus. At the other end, once you're eliminated, then your all your votes sort of come into play, which I know you're going to talk about the Hutchmarie Sherlock race later on. But it's at the other end all the votes
I think
come into play.
The example you give with the Monk is it's actually a very good example of what's going to play out here, because it's about being ahead. And we see this with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael now, where they're actually competing for final seats in a lot of places across the country. And actually, whichever one of them is ahead on first preferences will get the transfers from the others. So take Donegal, for example. Charlie McConlogue has a chance of surviving because Fine Gael has done quite poorly up there. But the Fine Gael votes may actually allow Charlie McConlogue scrape in because he's ahead of the
So it's like vote. It's a knockout between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and ultimately what that will affect is what is the combined total and also who's got the upper hand. And when we start looking at who's got the upper hand, Kevin, does the number of seats then that Fianna Fáil have over Fine Gael dictate the type of relationship they might have going into government?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is it's worth saying Simon Harris will be Taoiseach for Christmas. So people might raise their eyebrow and go, that makes no sense. We had an election, but this is going to take time. We've already discussed that Mary Lou MacDonald's going to go away and do a bit of speed dating with the other.
She's going to speak to Ivana Batic tomorrow, I understand.
Yeah, and look, that's all going to end up nowhere. But Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to have to stand back and let that happen. Now, I'm sure they'll be tic-tacking in the background. But so the government that we have, even the ministers like Stephen Donnelly, who are going to lose their seats, will be the ministers for Christmas. Mm. And we saw that, of course, back in COVID when it took a while to get a government. So it's going to come down, to the relationship question. I mean, it seems pretty clear that Fianna Fáil are going to be 5, 6, maybe 7 seats
ahead.
Sorry, Fianna Fáil are going to be that far ahead. If it goes over 10, you get into a question around the parity of esteem at that point, because the gap may be big enough. It doesn't look like
the gap will
be that far out. But that would be fascinating, because if that did happen, and I wouldn't rule it out happening, but if that did happen and you're Simon Harris, at that point, you go, 5 years is tarnished? Don't think so. Confidence in supply, maybe?
Or you say to Micheál, well, Mary Lou is waiting to be in government. Why don't you talk to her?
Yeah, Bertie, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't think any of that will
I don't either, but it's a hypothetical.
I think
trying to make it exciting.
Well done, Kevin. You made it valiant.
Well, to make it exciting, that the deadline is that we have to wrap this up before Trump takes over as president.
January 20th.
So there's a lot of sense why that should happen, because the government, and particularly key ministers, we need quickly to get our lobbying in with the United States. Because if he moves, he can only, if you believe the man, and I'd be afraid not to, because he tends to do what he says, and he had another few appointments last night that look crazy, but it's what he said he'd do, and he has the mandate. So I think we need to be ready to get our lobbying, because if he starts slapping tariffs on, if he starts putting pressure on multinationals not to reinvest, you know, all of a sudden the economic pictures could change quickly.
Not to contradict you, because you contradicted me, but everyone, I spoke to people in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil last night, and you're right, they are setting the Trump inauguration as their kind of deadline. But since we pretty much know that it is going to be some combination of those two parties, actually, you're pretty certain that Jack Chambers is going to be the new finance minister. You're pretty certain that, given his role in the last few days of the election, that Simon Harris can't overlook Pascal Donoghue now if he wants to be back in public expenditure. So the guys who are going to be in those key roles are still going to be the guys in those key roles when the new government is formed. So if the likes of Labour or Soc Dems start playing a really hard bargain and this drags on a little bit, actually it isn't the end of the world in the way that some people might think.
But there is a dynamic here, I think, a kind of a democratic dynamic that has to be allowed for, and that is that, you know, different parties want to talk to, you know, and maybe on the left want to talk and see what they can arrive at. And I think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I mean, there's clearly a pathway to government for the two with some others. But I mean, there will be a kind of a, if you like, I would say a respect for that.
Yeah,
democratically. Then Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you know, will move at a certain point, but it can't go on for too long.
The one thing that's for certain, Francis, is they'll all be working for Christmas. They didn't have to go campaigning for Christmas, but they'll all be working on a programme.
Listen, for what's new in politics? Yeah. I mean, seriously, Kevin, that's the name of the game.
Kevin, I don't disagree with you, but I wouldn't like to be sending a delegation of Irish ministers over and Trump would meet them and the first thing he'd say is, what does a caretaker minister mean?
I think that's not a good idea. That will be part of where we need to go. We'll definitely be done by St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Kevin, you just want a more exciting time than you had during
Kevin just wants to make sure he's going to Washington to see Mr. Trump. Isn't that right, Kevin?
Election 2024 on News Talk.